Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ dhammaṃ saṅghaṃ namassāmi. So dedicating our talk today to Arinda, who was a wonderful son, a wonderful friend, who practiced the Dhamma so deeply in a hidden way. He just served his parents, served the Dhamma, served the monks, came here and celebrated birthdays and dhanas and gratitude to parents' days for years. Sometimes the people that leave this world suddenly, their Dhamma spirit is so sensitive and so deep, and this world is so coarse that they cannot bear it. Sometimes I can't bear it. We're aware of the problems that the world is facing. And naturally, the news has not changed forever. There have been wars, and there have been beginning of wars, middle of wars, ending of wars. But in our particular day and age, it seems like there's war after war after war, and carnage, and people seem to think that this is what you do. But the ignorance is so great that people who have a deep sensitivity and loving spirit don't know how to bear that. I try to practice. What would I do if the bomb fell here? Would I be able to keep my mind in a compassionate stance and say, may you be free from suffering, to those people that are throwing the bombs? How do we deal with that? So I couldn't bear it. I left the world. And then coming to the monastery, I realized, really, you left the world. Well, it's right there. It's right here. Because these things come back to us all the time. And here we are, trying our best to be nice to the thieves, to prepare if somebody wants to shoot us, to receive the bullet without hatred. And I try to do that over and over when I read these stories, because I know it's going to be here. Death is at our doorstep. Violence is possible at any time. We're driving in a car and somebody is impatient behind us, cuts us off, nearly misses the car that's coming the other way, and dives in front of us. Foolishness, ignorance, harm. But there is something within us that doesn't die, that is not death-bound. And it is to embody and know that possibility here and now, in the heart. The world is going to blow up in one way or another. And we might blow up with it or not. But if we don't blow up with it, we might die of a natural death from old age. Or when it's too hard to bear, the things that happen to our own loved ones. These tragedies, these bombs, these unbearable mind states come to us. But we are here. We are the bearers. We are the guardians of these precious jewels. But they're not jewels that you lock up in a safe. And they're not locked in here. They're here to keep them shiny. And to keep them shiny, we have to be incredibly courageous. We have to be willing to forgive the thief, the killer, the leaders who drive us into these situations and call up the army to go and fight their own people. We bear that burden and keep our jewels polished, shiny. That's our job. That's the most beautiful thing we can do, even if we pass away while doing it. Because life is so insecure. When I was reading one of these stories in my kuti, I had to come back to that vow, to that intention in my heart, again and again, because my eyes were bursting with tears. My heart was bursting with wanting to weep at what people are doing. But no, these tears will not help. So I just tighten my robe, take a deep breath, be brave, keep the tears at bay. It doesn't mean I don't feel it, but I know that that doesn't solve anything. You cry forever, and it does nothing. But what we can do is go to that which doesn't die, and know that even if we get blown up, that purified presence, that awareness of what is true, consciousness of what is true, is our refuge and safety. And that's what builds parami. That's what gives us the strength of our virtue to be brave and to sit and keep it together in one place that we are occupying, and that is this moment. And in the next moment, I might fall apart again, but I'm just going to put it all back together and keep doing that. And when you keep doing that, you figure out how to do that. I used to cry a lot more. In fact, my first teacher in India, 52 years ago, that's right. Anyway, how wonderful that was. But he told me, don't weep, because I always cried. I would hear the Dhamma. I would cry from joy, but also weep because I felt so inadequate. Like, how can I ever do that? How can I be so calm and equanimous in the face of, like, there was one man who threatened to kill me. One day I got off the bus and he threatened me, and I came running back to the temple and I told my teacher, and I was crying, I was so upset. He said, don't weep. Be strong, be brave. The Dhamma is in you. You are stronger than all that. He said, be like a lion. I thought, oh, be like a lion. I'm like a lamb. There's a story of a baby lion. The mother is killed. And so this little baby lion is left. And these sheep, they find him and they adopt him. So this lion gets raised by the sheep. One day, a lion shows up and sees this baby lion with the sheep. And he says to the lion, "What are you doing here? You're like me." And he shows him a mirror. The little lion looks in the mirror and sees, "Oh, I'm not one of these." And it starts to growl like a lion. So when we realize who we really are, if we practice the Dhamma and we look in the mirror of the heart and see fear is not what we are. So if we're afraid of our fear, then of course we will cry. We think this is who I am. But if we know this fear of our fear, if we know it for what it is, if we study it in time before it takes over the mind, then we will know that this fear is impermanent and it's empty of self. It's not what we are. It is suffering as long as we don't recognize that it's not who we are. It will make us suffer. So practice compassion. Compassion with wisdom. And the wisdom is to understand what we truly are and practice with fear to begin with. Bring that up. Know the three characteristics in the moment that we're feeling so sorrowful or so fearful, instead of letting the mind be overtaken by that fear. This body and this world, it's all impermanent. When we're born, we sign up for that. Where is that signature? It's like the lion signed up to be a lion. We have to stop crying and not growl, but be peaceful with conditions and not give in to that which is frightening. We have to see how easy it is for the mind to nurture fear or nurture sadness or nurture the self, which is insecure, I'm no good, I can't do that. This is the wrong way of nurturing. But we're here to polish the jewels that we carry. And when we're being scared and crying, then we're not polishing. All we have to do is polish. Just remind ourselves, jewel, polish. Okay, gotta polish the jewel. Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha. Buddha, wisdom. Dhamma, practice. Sangha, spiritual companionship. Practice in your own lives where you have to meet things every day that are just burdens. They burden the heart. They knock us down. They cut our hearts out. How do we face that? How many lives have we lived? How many children have we lost? How many parents have we lost? How many times have we had our throats slit? We keep coming back for more. But if we polish these three jewels again and again, then we won't have to come to worlds like this and suffer in these ways. That's the freedom, that's the possibility, the freedom from fear, from anger, from greed, from delusion, from worldly violence, from the inner violence of the unenlightened, unawake mind. Because the human mind is capable of creating weapons of mass destruction. But the human mind is also capable of nurturing enlightenment for human beings. There is nothing to destroy except our ignorance. The weapons only come from ignorance and multiply it. But the weapon that we have is love. Not everybody is going to get it, but they will get it. We will try to offer it. Even if people cannot receive it, we still try to represent and present that love through our own conduct. Our conduct in speech, our conduct in actions, our conduct in the ways we think, and in the ways we live, and in the ways we love. The good things seem to go fast, don't they? And the hard parts seem to go on forever. In the 70s, my first job before I went to India was as a social worker with the elderly, blind and disabled. So I had a lot of old friends. But every week somebody died. And I met one lady, her name was Mary. And I loved going to meet her because she was so, so wise. This was in a nursing home. I would sit on the floor and listen to her talk. And then one day when I was visiting her, she said, "Don't get old, my dear. Old age goes on forever." I really felt for her. She was so patient. And then she died. It was a wonderful job, but it was just heartbreaking. So you'd see the suffering, that the roots of the suffering go so deep. Death comes at any time. The practice of equanimity is recognizing the delusion of fear, anger, hostility, resentment. These come from delusion. And when the heart is ruffled, you're upset about something, that's not equanimous. But when the wind dies down and the leaves stop rustling and everything is quiet, it looks very equanimous. And we hope that our mind will become quiet like that when we practice. But if somebody comes in the door and starts shouting, what will our response be? If they disturb our practice, we might want them to leave us alone. So how do we get our equanimity back? Well, we have to practice. You can't just pull it out. Because holding aggravation in the mind, our heart is too clenched. But if the heart is equanimous, no matter if somebody were to come and hit us on the head, then we would feel, oh, I've been hit on the head. But there wouldn't be anger. Equanimity is a high state, maybe the highest. If you're unequivocally, permanently equanimous, that's nibbana, isn't it? That's freedom. That nothing that happens in the world will disturb us. Because how many worlds have there been? And that's the nature of the world. It's full of greed, hatred, and delusion. So what's new? But because we're also full of some greed, hatred, and delusion, maybe not to the extreme, but enough to get upset, we get angry, or we get scared. We want something, and we're going to do everything we can to get it. What if there's a nuclear war? Life will stop. And I don't think about that because Thinking about the future doesn't help our current mind state. But what we can do is practice being forgiving of conditions. So old age is hard, and just the body hurts more. The functioning is slower. The walking, everything, the strength is not there. How do we deal with it? We just try to be with it, be peaceful with it. Oh, okay, it's like this, it doesn't quite work. Little by little, make peace with conditions as they are. There's no magic. It's just a practice. It's like this. This is the way it is, and we'll do our best with what we can bring to it. Rather than thinking, I have to be, perform, and be something that I'm not. And we do this all the time. And the sooner that we can bring our attention back to pure consciousness, then that's pure awareness. That you see the intruder and you know where to go. You go to present moment awareness rather than fear. Because if we act like that, then the intruder has already disturbed us. But the mind is our own territory. We don't want an unskillful situation to arise. You can't call the police for the mind. Present moment awareness is the police, in a way. It's like, that doesn't work. Okay. And you let it go. Letting it go, letting it be, gives it no ammunition to shoot. So you disarm the mind. It's an internal disarmament. That is awareness of what is true. And that pure consciousness is our refuge and safety.
Sande mayam dhamma kataya sadhu karanta dhamma se
sadhu, sadhu, sadhu,
anumodami.